Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing Emerita Resources to everyone. Traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol EMO and on the OTC markets under the symbol EMOTF. Chad and I are chatting with the CEO, David Grower. Now, David, we've featured Emerita on the show a couple times through our conversations with Dr. Jim Jones, as he clearly likes the company. He is a shareholder, and he has outlined some of the what he thinks are exciting aspects for the company moving forward. To kick off this interview, I really just want a broad overview on the company's strategy. The company is focused in Spain. You have three projects in total. One, the Iberian Belt West project that is currently being drilled. This is where a lot of the near-term catalysts are going to come from. We will get into that drill program. There is also another project. It's called the Asnalcollar property. This one is still in the court system. So again, there's something to talk about here. But just to kick us off, David, real quick, please just provide a general overview of the company's focus and strategy in Spain, please.
Okay, well, our focus is on the Iberia Pyrite Belt, particularly in southern Spain, and it continues on into southern Portugal. It's one of the, if not the most productive, volcanogenic massive sulfide belts in the world. Major deposits have been in operation there for centuries, actually. The most important being Neves Corvo, which is Lundin's operation just across the border in Portugal. But it's a very opportune time, actually, to be working in this part of the world. The regional government of Andalusia, which is the region where the deposits occur, in March, passed a resolution declaring underground mining to be a preferred economic activity, and one that would be permitted on an accelerated basis in this region. And that wasn't done by accident. About a week after that resolution was passed, the European Union declared the region as strategically important as a source of strategic metals important for the European supply chain for metals that will be necessary for them to essentially electrify or transform the whole power equation in Europe. And to support that, they put a 3.2 billion euro fund in place to support mining and metallurgical projects and developments. So it's a place where mining has been understood for a long, long time, for generations. And now you've got not just the local communities, but the regional governments, and right up until to the European Union governments, saying this is a favorable business for this part of the world and for that, in fact, the entire EU. So very exciting times to be there. And geologically, we have exceptional projects, you know, to take advantage of that that economic environment. In terms of the projects that we have, the main project that we're working on right now is the Iberia Belt West project, which is right on the border with Portugal almost. So Neves Corvo is actually the closest operation to us, the Lundin operation, and almost the same distance to the east of us is Trafigura's operation, Aguas Teñidas. And that's another interesting project in that, for context, it was announced last week that an Australian firm, Sunfire, has basically put up 1.8 billion US to buy that mine from Trafigura. That's a mine that's been operating for well over 20 years. You know, it's getting on in its life. And in terms of potential, just Iberia Belt West alone should be able to exceed what the resources are at that Trafigura, remaining at that Trafigura operation. So, you know, we're right now at a kind of a 250 million market cap. We can easily, just with that one project, put together resources, we believe, that would be, you know, well beyond what Sunfire just bought. Asnalcollar is just a completely different level. It's a project that's not unlike the Arizona mining project that was sold for $2 billion cash to South 32. That had about 100 million tons in reserves for its feasibility. It's much deeper than the deposits that we're looking at here and much lower grade, and it's still not in production or permitted. So these are very rare assets. When you look at Asnalcollar, we're focused on the Los Frailes deposit at Asnalcollar as part of that public tender. It's a 70 million ton past producing deposit, of which there's 20 million tons at least of high grade, but it's wide open at shallow depths. The original mine on that property, the original Asnalcoir open pit, which is more of a copper silver rich deposit, there's still 90 million tons of kind of open pit grades, of which probably 40 million tons could be converted to underground grades. And there's a third deposit called Caridad that's at least 10 million tons. So easily you can see that the type of upside that we have on these projects is very, very substantial. And when I talk about these numbers for Iberia Belt West, for example, there are three deposits on that project. Two of them, we're drilling the Infanta deposit right now with two drills, but there are already 50 drill holes in it. So we're really looking at a project that has very low geological risk. The Roman Era deposit, which is on the other side of the property, also has about 50 drill holes in it. It's a 34 million ton resource that was drilled by Rio Tinto in the 80s, of which we see at least 11 million tons of high grade that we're focused on. And again, only drilled to about 350 meters. It's more than 20 meters thick at those depths. So a lot in front of us.
Well, David, let's dig in a little bit more to the IBW, Iberian Belt West project. This is a polymetallic deposit for the company. You've got copper, zinc, lead, silver, and gold, pretty high grades as well. Could you walk us through the composition of this deposit and what you know from historic drilling and some of the drilling that you've been doing lately? You know, what does this deposit look like? How big could it be?
Yeah, well, with respect to IBW, the Infanta deposit, which we were drilling, as I mentioned, is the highest grade of all the deposits, I think, that we've seen in the area. The last hole we released was 11 meters, grading 3.6% copper, 27, almost 28% zinc, 15% lead, and 320 grams per ton silver, with close to a gram of gold. It is polymetallic. All of these are metals that will factor into the energy transition and the so-called new economy. This hole was about 100 meters below surface, so we're talking about very shallow depths. We don't have to develop these with shafts, so they can be developed quickly from a ramp. Just on a gross metal value, in situ metal value basis, you're looking at something well over $1,500 per ton with an intersection like that, and probably a cost of not much more than $100 a ton. So the margins when you have those kind of grades are massive. And, you know, when I talk about things like Roman Era, Infanta was drilled by Phelps Dodge only to 125 meters because they had a very postage stamp of a property at the time in the 80s. We now have a consolidated property position that is very large around this. In fact, we're the third largest claim holder in the Andalusia region now. From our mapping and the geophysical work that we've done, we can see that this deposit probably has at least a 1.5 kilometer strike length, where Phelps Dodge had only drilled 400 meters. For us to take what was a relatively modest resource that Phelps Dodge was able to put together because of their property limitations in the day, but with screaming grades and have a major increase in the size, it looks very good. It looks very good. And we're seeing very good correlation with the geological mapping that we're doing at surface and the geophysics. Roman Era, which we haven't started to drill, but we hopefully will start before the end of this month with two drills. From the geophysical survey to date, is the strongest anomaly we've seen, and it is the biggest deposit known to date. Again, it persists to great depths. We need to finish the survey there. The conductor associated with the deposit continues along strike in both directions. It's extremely exciting what we're seeing at Roman Era as well. And the reason we expect to be drilling by the end of the month is we've just received all of the final documentation required to permit the drilling in that area and at Alcura. And that includes letters of support from both municipalities, which the property falls into two broad municipalities, and the mayors of each have written letters of support for the project. And this will allow the Environment Department to basically to close the file on this and get the permits issued, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. And those letters of support obviously are important because it does signify that you've got the community behind the project and interest in the economic activity that it's going to generate.
David, let's talk about the overall strategy then of the drill program going on at this IBW. I understand there are two drills turning, consistently looking for high grade, and you guys have been hitting high grade. Are we going to see a resource by some certain time frame? What are the overall goals and strategies around that program?
Yeah, so the intention is to have a resource put together, but certainly on Infanta, we'll have one by the end of the year, unless it's continuing to get much, much bigger. Obviously, that requires more drilling. But based on the plan that we have, we'll have that completed. Roman era will be in progress. So we should have certainly a 43-101 resource for the property by first quarter of next year. We will be drilling with five drills before the end of hopefully before the end of October, but certainly by sometime in November. Two on Roman era, two on Infanta, and one testing geophysical targets and Alcura. Roman era is actually already at a scale. If you look at the Rio Tinto work, where we could just convert the existing resource to a reserve and do a feasibility, it's big enough and high enough grade. Now, our objective will be to make it a lot bigger before we do that. But the target will be to have a 43-101 resource as quickly as possible, followed by a PEA or a pre-feasibility study. And of course, the sampling that we do from the drilling will also provide material that we can use for metallurgical work as well, which we'll need for the economic analysis. So that's the focus there, is basically to get this into a format where we can do the engineering as quickly as possible. We will be testing some of these targets that have never been drilled that are coming from our work. And the opportunity of a brand new discovery here, which I think will excite the market, is very good.
Okay, David, well, let's get into some of those new targets. You had news out today about the electromagnetic surveys, and it seems like you've got some pretty wide conductors on the property and some pretty deep mineralized zones that you're finding. Why don't you walk the audience through just what these EM surveys are telling you, how it's going to guide the targeting and the drilling coming down the road?
Yeah, so the EM survey is being conducted by a Spanish contracting company that specializes in this region. And in fact, they were instrumental in the new Magdalena discovery, which is the most recent discovery to go into production in the belt of Traffic Era. And essentially, we're using that recipe. We basically reprocessed the government's gravity data, and that gives us a focus for the EM. It's a type of system where you lay out very large loops, kind of 2 kilometer by 1 kilometer loops, and you transmit a very high level of energy, electrical energy, into the ground. And that allows it to see very deep. And then we have receivers to pick up the signal. And through that process, you identify very conductive areas. And of course, what's conducting is metal. So that's the simple terms of how it works. So certainly what we see is Infanta has a very good anomaly associated with it that's extends at least almost 2 kilometers. Also, the EM survey that we've done has the capability with the configuration that we've used to see as far as 800 meters. And we're certainly seeing conductive plates associated with this deposit well below 400 meters. So Roman era, we've only got 3 lines across Roman era. It's wide open, but the lines are about 250 meters apart. So it's at least 500 meters long, that conductor. Unfortunately, we've had to suspend the geophysics for a few weeks because it's hunting season. And we basically don't want to put our crews in peril of being considered game as they're wandering around the bush out there. And then there's a number of other targets. There's a target to the east of Infanta on the same horizon. Very strong conductor that there's no record of work on. And the other really interesting thing that's come out of this and our mapping is it looks like the mineralized horizons are occurring within faulted structural blocks. And we saw in the gravity early on, and perhaps in one of Doc Jones's presentations, you would have seen there's a second gravity anomaly to the north. It looks like that's a structural repetition of the mineralized horizon. And we, on that horizon, which has never been drilled, We have a very strong conductor associated with the gravity that's, again, almost 2 kilometers long, almost directly north of the Infanta area. So the preliminary results from that survey, coupled with the geology and the drilling, is very encouraging. We have a big block that's yet to be completed. Once hunting season ends, I think it's around the 20th of October, which includes the Alcura area. We just have one line that sort of started to get into that area. And lo and behold, exactly where you would expect it, there's a really nice conductor starting to build right there. So the geophysics is going to give us a different look at the property and the potential of the property, and also helps us guide the drilling for putting together the resources.
All right, David. So it sounds like a lot of news still to come out of this Iberian Belt West project, and drills continuing to turn. We'll follow along as drill results come out. Let's also talk about another project in the company's portfolio. I believe it's called Asnalcollar. This project is regarded as one of the top undeveloped zinc deposits in the world. Now, this project is in a bit of a legal battle. It's stuck in the courts right now. Give us some insights into why you like this project and what's happening in the court system, please.
Okay, well, this is a very special and unique project, as you rightly point out. It was formerly in the 1990s an operating mine, operated by a major European company, and suffered a tailings collapse and subsequently shut down and was reclaimed by the government. The local communities lobbied very hard to have it basically put back out to tender and then put back into production because they need the jobs. And so that was done. And we participated in a tender where we felt that we had the winning bid. And so we challenged the awarding of a tender to a local Spanish company. This is about 7 years ago now. So we've been through all the phases of appeal for this trial and are now at the very end of the process, which is essentially sentencing for 16 people involved in a corruption case, both government and the other company. The important point about that is that in Spain, the laws related to the public tender process are very well established. And if there's commission of a crime in awarding a public tender, that bid must be disqualified and the tender must be awarded to the next highest bidder. As it turns out, we're the only other bidder on this tender. The reason it's special is it's got a number of things going for it. First of all, you've got a mine that was drilled off and only in production for a year and a half when it had the accident. So almost the entire ore body is still there. There's a second mine on the property that was mined into the 1960s, the original Asnalcollar mine. So we've got two large open pits on the property. There's still 90 million tons of mineralization at Asnalcollar. Los Frailes, which was the one that was only operating for a year and a half, was a 75 million or 70 million ton deposit, of which 20 million tons is plus 10% combined lead zinc with about 3 ounces of silver and a gram of gold, more or less. The other really important thing about Asnalcollar, it was put out as a public tender where you were required to present a redevelopment plan. It's already essentially permitted by all levels of government to go back into production. So really what you're permitting when it's finally awarded to you is the details of your plans. But the actual concept that it's going to be a mine, it's essentially already approved. That was the purpose of the public tender by the government, was to put it back into production. So you look at, I mentioned the Arizona mining assets earlier that were sold for, you know, 2.2 billion Canadian in 2018. They're still not into production because they have to go through a very rigorous, you know, U.S.-based permitting process. This mine, actually, it wouldn't surprise me if it's approved faster, you know, because of the history and the fact it's already a disturbed site. In terms of why it's special geologically, well, you know, Los Frailes, there's 20 million tons of high grade. Of the 90 million tons at Asnalcollar, there's probably 40 million tons that will make underground grades. And it's still probably can be expanded beyond that. The 20 million tons at Los Frailes is only 300 meters below the pit. It's 45 meters thick in the last hole. So that can get a lot bigger. Between the two deposits, there's another deposit called Caridad, which is at least 10 million tons. And all of these deposits are close enough to be accessed from the same underground infrastructure. So it is a property that has a deposit that's on the scale of what Arizona Mining sold. And the reason they get these valuations is for major companies, these are projects that have 50 plus year mine lives. And so they're material to every player, essentially, every major player in the sector. When you can have the luxury of setting up and know that you're going to have a stable feed for you know, generations, these are very rare deposits and very valuable for that reason.
Okay. David, appreciate this introduction here. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those addressed for you, and as some more news comes out, we will bring David back on with a little more focus on some of the upcoming drill results and catalysts. David, thank you for the introduction here. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Yeah, you too, and thank you kindly.